Jedi Temple, Coruscant.
Master Silgal, Mon Calamari and most proficient medical doctor among the current generation of Jedi, paused before hitting the console button that would erase the message she had just spent some time decrypting. It had been a video transmission from Ben Skywalker, a message carefully rerouted through several hypercom nodes and carefully staged so as not to mention that it was for Silgal's tympanic membranes, or in fact, for anyone on Coruscant. But its main content was meant for the Jedi, and Silgal repeated it as a one-word summation, making the words sound like a vicious curse.
Sith.
The message had to be communicated throughout the Jedi Order. And on review, there was nothing in it that suggested she couldn't preserve the recording, couldn't claim that it had been forwarded to her by a civilian friend of the Skywalkers. Luke Skywalker was not supposed to be in contact with the Jedi Temple, but this recording was manifestly free of any proof that the exiled Grand Master exerted any influence over the Order. She could distribute it, and she would do so right now.
Deep space, near Kessel.
Jade Shadow, one-time vehicle of Mara Jade Skywalker, now full-time transport and home to her widower and son, dropped from hyperspace into the empty blackness well outside the Kessel system. She hung suspended there for several minutes, long enough for one of her occupants to gather from the Force a sense of his own life's blood that had been in the vicinity. Then she turned on a course toward Kessel and vanished again into hyperspace.
Jade Shadow, in orbit above Kessel.
Ben Skywalker shouldered his way through the narrow hatch that gave access to his father's cabin. The auburn-haired teen was a little shorter than average height, but he was well-muscled in a way that his anonymous tunic and pants could not conceal. On the cabin's bed, under a brown blanket, lay Luke Skywalker. Similar in build to his son, he wore the evidence of many more years of hard living, including old, faded scars on his face and the exposed portions of his arms. Not obvious was the fact that his right hand, so ordinary in appearance, was a prosthetic. Luke's eyes were closed, but he stirred. What did you find out?
I reached Nien Nunba.
Nunba, the Sullustan co-owner and manager of one of Kessel's most prominent mine works, had been a friend of the Solos and Skywalkers for decades.
That yacht did make planetfall. The pilot gave her name as Captain Kai. She somehow scammed a port worker into thinking she'd paid for a complete refueling when she hadn't.
Luke smiled.
The Force can have a...
Yeah, so can a good-looking girl. Anyway, what's interesting is that she got a galactic map update. Nunba looked at the transmission time and determined that the download was pretty comprehensive. In other words, she didn't concentrate on any one specific area or route. No help there.
But it suggests that she did need some of the newer information. New hyperspace routes, or planetary listings.
Right.
And she's gone? Luke asked.
Headed out as soon as her yacht was refueled. By the way, its name is She's a Chancer.
Somehow appropriate. Finally, Luke did open his eyes, and Ben was once again struck by how tired his father looked. Tired to the bone. And to the spirit.
I can feel her path. I'll be up in a minute to lay in a course.
Right. Don't push yourself.
Ben backed out of the cabin, and its door slid shut.